Hey, buddy, welcome back.
Yay.
Oh, you did it.
You did it this time.
I'm so proud of us.
Well, it's all about your adventures.
My adventures in what? Learning about being a parent?
Yes. What'd you learn?
Yeah, whatever.
We had 4 weeks of baby classes because you can't do them in person right now, so they were virtual.
Mm-hmm.
And each week had a different theme, like how to handle potential postpartum depression, how to properly breastfeed successfully, what to expect on the actual day, and not a romantic version of it.
Well, that's nice.
It's not romantic.
I'm glad they're spitting the awful truth.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole point, right? Like, you want to know what you're actually going into.
So, Matt, are you going to be able to be in the delivery room?
Yes. So, right now, one person is allowed in. And Caitlin is ecstatic because as long as you test negative when you don't have to wear a mask during delivery. Everyone else will have masks. But Caitlin won't have to breathe through a mask throughout the entirety of the thing.
Well, that's really good.
Yeah. Well, I'm
glad... So, basically, it's good times.
Well, I'm glad you're learning all this stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
So
there isn't much excitement, by the way.
We are 1 month minus a day away from the date.
Yeah, that's gonna be the Chris and Josh show for forever.
No, I can't wait. It's gonna be great. I'm gonna be like, hey, Caitlin, you watch Anna? I got a podcast to be on.
Yeah, she'll love it.
Yeah, love it.
Just love it. But Matt, you've missed a lot of stuff that's happened over the last couple of weeks.
Oh, have I? Have.
Yeah.
Okay. Break it down.
Let's tackle it thing by thing.
First of all, you're not rehashing what you've already talked about, are
you? No.
Okay, good. Because don't be boring to the people listening.
No, of course not. But, you know, it's been a while, so I want to get some rapid fire thoughts from you. What did you think of the Resident Evil 8 event?
It's fine. The event itself was lackluster. Everyone was expecting Resident Evil 4 remake based on the cryptic tweets they were sending out showing like the classic briefcase inventory system and the merchant. And it turned out it was just to segue that 8 will have its own merchant.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's kind of a dick move. But everything else in the event was just kind of bleh.
Yeah, that CG movie looks pretty crap.
My favorite thing was that I was the only one that was able to play the demo.
Whatever, dude. I don't care.
Matt, how are you feeling about Future State?
Future State needs to be the past state real quick because it's fucking garbage. It's not that they're bad. It's just that this whole event feels unfocused and doesn't really serve a purpose. And if it does serve a purpose, then they're doing a really bad job of showing you that. And also, not helping their case is the fact that each book is doubled to triple the normal cost of a comic. So they're asking you to take the plunge on these characters and storylines that have nothing to do with what you're already reading, but then also say, instead of $2 to $3.99, how about $7 to $9.99? And it's just like that makes it so much worse because then that completely eliminates your desire to just try out a book. Like, maybe I do want to see what Future State Shazam's up to, but for $7, you can go fuck yourself. And and it's just, it's what kills me is the Future State tagline. It's not even a Future State. Like, the timeline skipped, what, a year or two? Like, in the Batman books, like, Bruce Wayne is literally still around being Bruce Wayne and Batman. And, like, there's no, like, future part. So some characters are just complete, like, new versions of themselves with no real explanation for why it's not actually in the future. Like, if it was in the future, I'd actually be okay with that. It'd be, like, Future's End style. Because then you have Legion of Superheroes Future State, and
which is already in the future.
Which is already in the future, and what kills me is I wasn't going to get it, but then the actual Legion series, the monthly series, after the last issue, it goes, to be continued in Future State. I'm like, you motherfuckers. And so then they have their own future state where time skips for no reason, not related to any of the other future state stuff. I think this is, and it hurts more because DC's never whiffed this hard on an event before. I cannot recall the last time they did like a big company-wide thing and for it to flop this hard for me. Like, there's no book I've read where I'm going like, yeah, that was worth it.
There's only been parts, like the Justice League Dark part of the Justice League book and the Outsiders part of Future Batman, which I've dropped all Future State books. Just cold.
Yeah. The only one I'm still getting is Justice League, so I could finish the Justice League Dark one, and New Batman, because I really dug the Outsiders and the Red Hood version part.
Yeah.
But that's it. Like, they've released dozens of books, and I'm barely convincing myself to continue two of them.
That pull list gets so much shorter every week. Just because DC is just nothing but future state until March. How are you feeling about the King in Black?
My computer froze for a second. I lost you.
That's fine. I was just wrapping up the thoughts about DC. What about the King in Black?
What?
The King in Black?
Oh, unlike Future State, I didn't even bother reading any of those. It's not enough. Marvel events are a lot easier for me to skip for some reason because the Marvel books I read are generally unmoored from their big stuff. And sometimes if it's... Okay, let me rephrase that. I actually do enjoy Marvel events, but for some reason there's Spider-Man-focused events I always skip because I don't care. Like, there was that one called Spider-Geddon, or there was that one where all of New York was, like, swallowed up.
Spider-Island.
Yeah, Spider-Island. Don't give a shit about that. Like, and I've never read them, and it's never impacted my enjoyment. And what's crazy to me is that the actual Amazing Spider-Man book did not tie into the King in Black, even though it's a Venom story. So the actual Spider-Man book did not have a King in Black tie-in. But for some reason, you have to hijack Daredevil?
Daredevil and Sword are the ones that hurt the most.
Yeah, and Sword gets the bummest rap because it was issue 2. You get one intro issue, and then you're roped into a bullshit crossover? Like, come on. At least Sword, like, the X books are still so good that when they're forced into a crossover, like when X-Men was with Empire, it's still really fucking good. X-Men's kind of immune from that at the moment, but Daredevil really suffered because he had the really great stuff with Matt Murdock in prison, and then you had that really cool scene with Elektra being Daredevil for the first time.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, but here's Venom, and it all goes to shit.
All right, well, that's all the old business taken care of. So let's wrap about Mass Effect.
Oh. Mass Effect Legendary.
Dude.
I like to call it BioWare can't make a new game. BioWare hasn't made a good new game since 2011 or 2013 with Mass Effect 3. And they're just coasting on their successes.
Dragon Age Inquisition was very good.
Okay, I'm a liar. That did come out after. Inquisition was the final good.
Yeah, Inquisition was very good.
Yeah, no, I platinumed the hell out of that one. You're right.
Yeah.
So let me. Judging from your tone, are you pro or against this kind of a remaster event?
We went this entire generation going, why hasn't BioWare remastered Mass Effect? It's the easiest decision. Like, the trilogy should just be remastered. And everyone was like, what are they thinking? And you know what? This is fine because it's a great trilogy. It'll all be together with all the DLC. And Mass Effect 1, which gameplay-wise suffered in comparison to 2 and 3, is getting the biggest overhaul. So I'm down with that.
Was I crazy or did I see a news article that one of the DLCs had a corrupted source file?
You're not crazy. The DLC for the first game was made by a separate company and the file was corrupted and they don't want to redo it because it was just kind of like a precursor to the multiplayer, but on a single player scale.
So hold on. I'm looking it up. Oh, I think it was the one about the station, right? Yeah, Pinnacle Station. That was basically because I remember doing it because I didn't platinum because that did not exist on Xbox. But I 1,000 out of 1,000 every Mass Effect game on Xbox, including all DLC, so actually more than that. So I played Pinnacle Station, and it was basically just a arena combat simulator.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
It didn't have any story stuff, basically. Yeah. It was a fun, like, challenge mode, but it unlike the other DLC, it had nothing to do with the story. Like, losing that changes absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it changes. I'm excited to see what the tweaks are for
the Mako apparently won't control like a piece of shit.
Well, that's good.
That takes away some of the charm of it.
But I was telling Chris before we started the cast, I was like, you know, honestly, the first Mass Effect is my favorite.
Out of the three.
I like two three. Is great. And I really like 3, but there's something about the first one, and I think it's because of the music. The music is, there's something that changes. I know the composers don't change, but like in the first game, they keep that Tangerine Dream type ethereal sounding music all throughout that game. And the feel of the game is great. I think it's just everything just gels together. The first time you meet Rex is that moment where you're like, holy shit, I'm in for this game. There's a lot of great moments like that in the first game. And the second one's got a great story, but like there's something magical about the first Mass Effect. And I'm excited to play it again with like the 4K and whatnot. But I'm wondering to see what tweaks they're going to do to update the playstyle, because I did like the combat mechanics in the game. I liked that it was a little bit slower and it felt...
Yes, it was definitely the more RPG of the three, and I think that's why I like it the most, because the inventory system was all like, it was like Borderlands style in the sense that like all these different manufacturers of equipment, and that dictated all the stats and abilities of your weapons, and all of your equipment did something different.
Like you had a larger...
My favorite was how you had to put ability points into different guns if you were a soldier. Like, if you didn't put any points into sniper rifle, then every time you tried to zoom in, you would just wave wildly.
Yeah, like, I don't understand why they moved away from those RPG elements. The first game had a great system, and I just feel like that might have been an EA decision, and it's like, speed this game up a little. It's like, but it took away the magic. And plus exploring. I think the first game had a great exploring field, and you started stumbling upon Cerberus without realizing that there would be a serious thing in the game series.
Mm-hmm.
So like there's some great elements, but the music, it's that opening, you boot that game up, and you just have like the you know, new game screen, and you just listen to that music, and it's just amazing. It is my favorite score out of anything outside of a Final Fantasy.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Are you surprised that they're originally coming out on the current generation and not being made next gen exclusive?
No, because the reality is in every generation I'm like, why are you doing that? Because there's 150 million players on old systems, and right now it'd be a different story if people were able to buy the new stuff anytime they wanted, but we're still in COVID supply constraints. Even if you desperately want a system, Josh, you can't get one. So it's like, I get it, and at least both of them are giving you free next gen upgrade. So if I buy this, it's going to run and look better on my PS5, but making it exclusive to current gen systems would alienate a shit ton of people, because the idea of that is to drive people to upgrade, but you'd be releasing something that people physically cannot buy yet. So I get it. I'd be more upset if there were PS4 Xbox One games without a next gen upgrade. Like, that would annoy me more.
Yeah, I really appreciate that they're upgrading it for free for next gen.
The next gen upgrades, that is solid, and that's a great move. And I, You know, I feel like this is a good step for BioWare. At the end of the day, it's a great step for EA, but it's a good step for BioWare just to remind people that it's kind of like they can make great games.
No, just, they made great games. So they know how to continue releasing them.
They can still do it.
It's like Skyrim.
Look, it 100% is. What has Elder Scrolls team done since Skyrim? The answer is re-release Skyrim.
They released that fun trailer for the Elder Scrolls 6.
They panned over some hills and put the words Elder Scrolls 6 on the screen.
Are you saying I could?
It's this.
I'm sorry. Go on.
I am saying you could have done it. Yes.
Okay.
But BioWare unfortunately has a lot to prove. Like I will grant. Like I read the behind the scenes of what happened to Mass Effect Andromeda, and that's heartbreaking. But even with the glitches, the combat in that game was amazing with the jump, with the jetpack jumping and all of the more like fast-paced action with all of your biotic abilities and stuff like that. The combat was great. And
some of the side missions in that game are just hilarious.
And the story could have been so much better with a sequel or even just some DLC. I read an amazing article about like this guy created 3 DLCs that he wished Andromeda would have had that would have perfectly paved the way for a sequel.
Yeah.
Like the first one, of course, was the Quarian arc, because everyone always forgets that the Quarian arc was also carrying all the other races, like the Drells and the little squid things that talk in the weird way, and the Batarians, and all of like the side races were there. So that would have fleshed out the world a little bit, and it had the leaders. I don't know. It's
you know, I feel like this is the biggest thing about Andromeda, and I think this is my biggest problem with like gaming now and gamers and people just saying anything. It's like if Andromeda came out the same, if Mass Effect 1 came out when Andromeda came out, we wouldn't have a Mass Effect 2 or 3. We really wouldn't. And I just think it was just they just caved in, and it was EA's decision to move that way, and it was a big mess. And I just feel like this isn't the game you promised crowd is really hurting games develop actually in a very positive way, because these studios are making giant movies, and these are very so like if it's a flop, and even if it's successful but it's considered a flop by like the gamers, then they just move on. So you know, it sucks what happened to Andromeda. It really, really sucks.
Well, and that's the problem, is because Andromeda didn't blow out of the gate because of it was being rushed, and so it fell prey to, oh, LOL, look at the memes. We're never going to get a follow-up to that. Because, and we know that because the teaser trailer for the next Mass Effect game is a continuation of Shepard's story, which just feels more unnecessary. It's like getting Toy Story 4. Like, sure, it might be good, but it's not necessary.
No, it really isn't. It's just sometimes it just feels like people want things safe instead of trying something completely different or completely new. But whatever, it's, you know, gaming is still in its infancy. I think at the end of the day, the video game industry is like in its adolescence. So it's only through time it's going to learn, and it's going to be able to develop. But it is exciting to play Mass Effect 1 again.
Yeah, that's my big takeaway. Let's see. Is there anything else news-wise, Matt, that caught your attention while you were gone?
Yes. So? No, not really.
Okay. Well,
I'm gonna be honest with you. I didn't play a single video game in January.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's a big thing. I do want to share with the class that Control is on PlayStation Plus, and I played a little bit of it last night, and I am very happy. I would have paid the $60 for the game, but I'm very happy I'm playing it for free, and oh, man, I am impressed.
I can't believe you never had it. That's, like, right up your alley. It's a great game.
It's so up my alley. It is beyond up my alley, and I love what Remedy does. Now, I'm not a Max Payne fan, but Alan Wake, like, oh, give me Alan, give me more Alan
Wake. Which is what this is?
But Control is Alan Wake. I'm like, oh, this is great. All the little details. These guys are all about details. The set dressing. You can look at the posters. Like, there's just something not right, and it's, oh, I love it. And I've been playing Dead Cells, and I'm telling you, PlayStation had a really, they're having a really great sale right now. The PlayStation Network has a lot of really good games for cheap at the moment. So go out, check it out. Dead Cells for, I think you get the full game and both expansions for like $20. Go do it. It's worth it. That game is a blast.
You know what, Josh? I would highly recommend that you also get Concrete Genie, which is the other free game this month.
I've heard good things about that game.
Concrete Genie is great, and if you have a PS5, what used to be a launch game for the PlayStation, Destruction All-Stars, the car combat game that's like one part Twisted Metal, one part Rocket League, went from being a full-priced launch game to a free PlayStation Plus launch game. So it's just free.
Yeah, that's a cool. That was a cool move for them. I think Sony did a really good job for February.
Yeah, this is one of the most solid PlayStation Control Plus games in a while.
That's insane. That's insane. What? They gave Control away. They were like, here's Control.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They gave up Control of...
Oh, no.
I don't know. That's all I got.
Well, I guess we could talk about that. We could take a second and give everyone a moment to prepare for the spoilerific talk about WandaVision.
Ooh, I am so excited to talk about this episode.
So we're going to give you about 10 seconds to kind of, you know, fast forward.
Obviously, hold on. Just a heads up for those that might not be listening live or recently, we are talking up to episode 4.
That is correct. So
I don't know when you're watching this.
So 10 seconds starting from now, and we'll talk about all the stuff that happened in a very eventful WandaVision. But first, Matt, what are your thoughts so far on WandaVision up to episode 4?
I've heard a lot of complaints about people that it started slow. I mean, and it was a slow burn, but I feel like they straight from the beginning told you this was going to be like a mystery type thing and we weren't going to get answers right away. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I didn't mind it. I really was just reveling in the fact that every episode was going to take on a different decade of classic sitcom TV. Mm-hmm. And they did. The 50s and the 60s episodes were amazing. Very looking to the 70s and 80s episode.
We had the 70s.
Did we? Yes, we did. I'm sorry. I'm dumb. The 80s and 90s episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because now we get into my nostalgia. But then episode 4 blows everything away. Like, episode 4 might be one of the best examples of synergy with the MCU. And if anything, it made me retroactively more upset about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, apparently we needed Jimmy Woo and Darcy to make that show work.
Oh, first of all, I've never stopped geeking out about how stupid a small thing it is, but the character arc of Jimmy Woo learning close-up magic tricks is so charming and the kind of thing that no one would have remembered. Like, no one would have, like, faulted them for not having him do magic, but the fact that they did and carried over the thinnest of plot lines from Ant-Man and the Wasp is incredible.
Yeah, he's a real himbo, and I kind of love it.
Especially if you go back and watch his scenes in Ant-Man and Wasp, he basically is.
Yeah. How do you feel seeing Kat Dennings again?
She's the best part of Thor, and she is one of the best parts of life. So she's amazing in everything. So I was happy. She was just Kat Dennings being Kat Dennings. They just let her loose and said, go be yourself, sport.
Yeah, so episode 4 was the first episode where it kind of took a moment as, like, what's going on in the outside world?
Yeah. We pulled back from the weird happenings of the town, and we are seeing what the outside world's up to.
How did you feel about their version of people coming back from the blip?
I loved it. That was awesome.
Spider-Man really Spider-Man really did a disservice by just saying, and people came back.
Yeah. No, but like people came back where they came back where they snapped from. And so it's kind of cool to see like the chaos that having literally half the world's population reappear instantaneously would have. Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt more jarring to see it all happening, and it all plays out. You realize that it was like a time span that blip actually happened. Like time was still moving. It's not like everything went back. So it's really interesting to think of like the amount of trauma some characters are actually going to have, and some, you know, on so many different levels. But yeah, guys, this episode was...
Well, also... Oh, sorry, I was
this
just...
This is great.
One other thing I really loved about 4 is that it also set itself up as a mini epilogue to Captain Marvel with the formation of S.W.O.R.D.,
yes.
With what Rambo's daughter grew up to do.
Yeah. It's great what they're doing.
Yes.
And we know Monica Rambeau becomes, like, Pulsar or Spectrum and eventually a different Captain Marvel. Like, she's just like Captain Marvel in the sense that she's been given so many different powers and names. Like, she could be so many different things.
It's true.
Yeah, they'll hook her up.
Now you're on TikTok.
I sure am.
And Marvel TikTok has been having a great time with theories.
So how do you know, Chris? Are you on the TikTok?
No, I have a niece who was on TikTok. Of course I'm not on TikTok. But let me ask you, do you have a theory at this moment that kind of speaks to you?
I do.
Okay, let's hear it.
I think it's very clear we're pulling from the comics, and this is the result of her snap from reality, unable to cope with Vision's death.
Right.
That she has isolated herself in this small town, is using her abilities to ward off anyone with, like, forced amnesia and all that stuff. Because we know the Vision that is there with her is his corpse, because when she slightly lost control of sending out Monica Rambeau, we got a glimpse of the real Vision for a bit.
And that was awesome. That was so jarring.
And especially really when you realize that the timing of it is when she was forcibly kicking out Monica Rambeau from the village, that was when the other villagers were starting to spill a lot more aggressively to Vision, and we saw Vision's true form. So if her emotions fluctuate too much, then the dreamscape kind of crumbles a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So my theory is, just like in House of M, I think especially if we jump forward to the 80s and 90s. So the 80s episode is going to have that Halloween scene, I bet.
I bet.
But the 90s, that means the kids are going to be like college age or something, right? Like high school, college, probably.
I mean, who knows?
They might play fast and loose with their ages because time there works differently. Point is, I think being forced out of that reality she's created and losing her fake kids, just like in the comics, will cause her to go cray-cray, and I think she will be the villain of Doctor Strange 2.
Interesting. Okay, interesting.
Because we already know that's about multiverses, and right now Wanda's all about creating different realities, and we know what happens when she goes really snaps. She can literally just straight up create an alternate reality.
It's true.
So I'm thinking it leads into Doctor Strange, and throughout Doctor Strange... that brings her back to the side of good. And then the repercussions from Doctor Strange lead to Spider-Man 3's multiverse time skipping, where we meet Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire.
And the cast of all three of those movies, all five of those movies. My theory is a little loose at the moment, because I'm waiting on the identity of one person, and that's Agnes.
Yes, that's a big one, because she wasn't put up on the board.
No, she's a wild card. Yeah. And if she is an Agatha Harkness, as has long been speculated, does that open the door for a Mephisto, is a name that's been thrown around a lot, or someone else of that power to kind of teach her how to do that? Because really, in the comics, I mean, in the movies that we've seen so far, Scarlet Witch's powers are mind manipulation and telekinesis. Excuse me. And this is a little out of her ballpark, so I don't think it's unreasonable to assume that there is another force, you know, kind of guiding her in this.
Yeah, I'm with Chris on this, because I think there's a reason why they showed people coming back from the blimp, the blip, and Mephisto's not happy. So
possibly,
I feel like Mephisto is like kind of opening up her powers a little, in a way.
Think?
Like kind of guiding her to alter.
Well,
reality.
The reality is, if Mephisto is trying to manipulate her, then that still plays into my theory that she could be a villain for Doctor Strange.
It's true.
It still can, and it could be, because there's a lot of, they're pulling, some people on the internet, on the intertubes, are pulling pictures from the Loki series, like from the trailer, and they show like a stained glass with Mephisto on it. So like they're really, there's a lot of people talking about, you know, the Multiverse of Madness being the Doctor Strange movie, being pretty much Mephisto revealing himself, saying, look, you know, I've been using Wanda to alter the reality and fixing things, because things need to be fixed.
Yeah, it all depends on Agnes, though. Agnes is the linchpin for my theory. And if it turns out that she's just a lady, I mean, that's going to be disappointing, but it's fine.
She is, though. I think she's got to be somebody, right? Like,
I don't know.
Well, especially since she insinuated herself as the best friend. Yes. Who knows?
Well, we'll find out more with WandaVision number 5 coming out on Friday.
So much excitement, guys. WandaVision is I find it to be such a really good beginning of what this Disney Plus series is building up to be. And I'm getting more excited about the Falcon and the Winter Soldier after seeing like images of a U.S. agent. It really frightens me that character is in that show. And Baron Zemo's outfit is amazing. I don't know if you guys got to see it.
But, I did see it.
Yeah, it looks great. Like, everything about the show looks great. And then I'm excited about Loki. I'm really excited about, like, what Disney Plus is doing. Because it doesn't seem like they're holding back, in a way. They're not telling them, you know, just, you know, hold it back a little. It's like, no, you can do what you want.
I appreciate how out there WandaVision is. Because they made a straight-up 50s sitcom with very little, with only, like, one bit of kind of modern thing with the choking and the save him. Yeah. But otherwise, they just did a straight sitcom, and that's kind of really ballsy of them on their first episode of their, I guess, phase is this? Phase 4?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, technically, it's easy to forget that Black Widow was supposed to be the first part of this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll be back every week to talk about WandaVision as an episode drops. Josh, I told Matt this, but did you catch the very end of the episode when they're sitting down with the twins, Wanda looks at the television and Vision looks at the camera.
Vision looks at, he does a double take.
Yeah.
He looks at the TV and then he looks up.
Yeah.
So there's a hypothesis that we threw out in the beginning that Doug and I have talked about Mojo World.
No.
I think Mojo's a lot.
It's a lot.
They're not going to bring in Mojo World until mutants already exist.
Yeah. But even, like, the notion of Mojo, like, to try to sell that to, you know, the Joe and Bob who went to go see the Marvel movies at just the Marvel movies, that's a lot. That's a lot for them to take.
That their brains would melt.
Probably.
Would love to see something like that. Like, I think there's some really great X-Men villains that can cross over, and I feel like Mojo is one of those villains that can cross over.
Because
if Sword is involved, you know what I mean?
Just because Sword is involved does not give Mojo a free pass. Mojo, you have to...
Sword being involved might mean we might get the Shi'ar Empire.
Yeah. And honestly, I think the Shi'ar Empire might be pushing it a little bit.
Yeah. They're having fun. Who knows?
The idea of the Mojo and the Mojoverse and everything that that entails, I don't know. I would be... If I were like an executive, I'd be like, the what now? How do you explain Mojo?
How would you?
Like, badly.
You wouldn't. Right?
Like that's crazy.
Matt, I had this question the other night. Did you have a lot of trouble trying to explain what the fuck Billy became? The whole Demiurge thing?
Oh, God. No.
Because I tried to explain it to Callie, and it went off the rails.
I mean, because right now he's the court, the Grand Vizier for Teddy's empire.
Yeah.
But who the fuck even knows?
That's what I'm saying. Let's see. Is there anything else we want to talk about this week?
No,
I guess not. Oh, Matt, there's one more thing. Did you make money on GameStop?
No.
Okay.
I did, but I'm being quiet.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. That's how you're going to finance your PlayStation.
Yeah, exactly. When it comes out. So, are we going to bring back the Gauntlet of Korra, the Legend of Korra, what is the sequel?
Well, no, it's just the Legend of Korra. I'm trying, but Korra's had some... Korra is now filled with a lot of political questions.
Oh, man.
So it's really hard to kind of like figure, or like boring questions like, how did the French cut the lift cables on the Eiffel Tower in 1940? And no one cares about that. So,
true.
Good times.
So yeah, I think that's all for this week. We'll be back next week, I assume, with more comics, more WandaVision, more games, I assume.
And more stops.
More stops. Less stonks, though.
All the stonks. Are you guys sure y'all didn't get any stonks?
No.
Get all the stonks. Burning hell, old man.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Live the stonk life.
All right. That's enough out of you.